Have you ever wondered what your purpose in life is? Sometimes young people, they ask about that, what their purpose in life should be. What kind of goals should they have? What kind of things should they seek out? Well, sometimes we wonder about that. And if I would look to the worldly ways of finding my purpose in life, I'm sure it would be a lot of selfish things. Well, God reminds us what our purpose in life is. And in our study of God's Word tonight, which is the reading from 1 Corinthians, he reminds us that God leaves us here for a purpose, and he has some very specific purposes for us as believers, and that's to serve him while we're here until he does take us home to heaven with him. We'll talk more about that in our sermon tonight and be reminded how it is that we serve God with his method of humility and his message of the gospel, carrying out his mission to share the gospel with more people. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. God invites us to come into his presence and worship him with humble and penitent hearts. Therefore, let us acknowledge our sinfulness and ask him to forgive us. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given his only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. For all that we need in life, and for the wisdom to use all your gifts with gratitude and joy, hear our prayer, O Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the steadfast assurance that nothing can separate us from your love, and for the courage to stand firm against the assaults of Satan and every evil, hear our prayer, O Christ. Christ, have mercy. For the well-being of your holy church in all the world, and for those who offer here their worship and praise, hear our prayer, O Lord. Lord, have mercy. Merciful God, maker and preserver of life, uphold us by your power and keep us in your tender care. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit may rule and direct all things in our hearts and lives, for without your help we are unable to please you. We pray through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our first scripture lesson is an Old Testament reading from Isaiah 58, verses 5 through 9. When the Old Testament people were worshiping the Lord, they thought maybe they could impress the Lord by doing special things. Fasting in the Old Testament was a big thing, with going without food. Well, in this Bible reading, God makes it clear that he's not just interested in actions, he's looking at the attitude that people have in their hearts. He wants them to show their faith in everything that they do and demonstrate that faith by the way that they live. Is this the kind of fast that I would choose? A day when a person afflicts himself and bows his head like a reed and makes his bed on sackcloth and ashes? Do you call this a fast, a day to gain the Lord's favor? On the contrary, isn't this the kind of fast that I would choose? To loosen the chains of wickedness, to tear apart the ropes of a yoke, to release the oppressed so they go free, and to tear every yoke to pieces. Isn't it a true fast that you share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless and afflicted into a house? Yes, when you see a naked person, you are to cover him, and do not hide yourself from your own flesh and blood. Then your light will break forth like dawn, and your healing will spring up quickly. Your righteousness will go out ahead of you, and the glory of the Lord will follow you. Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry out, and he will say, "Here I am." Our psalm for tonight are selected verses from Psalm 111, God reminding us of his promises and looking for that change of attitude in our hearts. Praise the Lord. I will thank the Lord with all my heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Great are the deeds of the Lord. They are studied by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic is his work, and his righteousness stands forever. He has set up a memorial to his wonders. Gracious and compassionate is the Lord. He gives food to those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has declared the power of his deeds to his people, to give them the nations as their possession. The works of his hands are truth and justice. All his precepts are trustworthy, steadfast forever and ever, done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption for his people. He commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who do his precepts have good understanding. His praise stands forever. Our second, or third rather, scripture reading is the gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 5. Jesus tells us in this Bible reading what you and I are to be, and he uses three things to describe us. We are light, we are salt, we are a city set on a hill. You and I let our faith show so that people see those things about us and glorify God. Here's what Jesus says. You are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its flavor, how will it become salty again? Then it is no good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on by people. You are the light of the world. A city located on a hill cannot be hidden. People do not light a lamp and put it under a basket. No, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine in people's presence, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Do not think that I came to destroy the law and or the prophets. I did not come to destroy them, but to fulfill them. Amen, I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter, or even part of a letter, will in any way pass away from the law until everything is fulfilled. So whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Indeed, I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the experts in the law, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. God's word for our study and encouragement is the epistle reading from 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 through 5. Paul said, "As for me, brothers, when I came to you, I did not come with superior speech or wisdom in order to proclaim to you the testimony about God. For I had no intention of knowing anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, in fear, and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not marked by persuasive words of human wisdom, but by a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power." Dear fellow believers, each month, I have the privilege of going and visiting some of our elderly church members. Maybe they're at home, maybe they're at the nursing home. I go there once a month, and we visit a while, and then have a devotion from God's Word, then they have the opportunity to receive Holy Communion. I really enjoy visiting with our older members, and many times their faith is so strong, it's an encouragement to me. I'm encouraging them, but they're also doing that for me. Sometimes when life gets difficult at that age, people will wonder why they're still here. They're failing in many ways, and life's getting more difficult. Pastor, why doesn't the Lord just take me home to heaven? Or someone else asks, why doesn't the Lord just end it all and bring judgment day because things are getting so bad out there in the sinful world? Well, maybe we've all felt like that at different times in our life. Why doesn't the Lord just end it all? Why doesn't He just take us all home to heaven? Well, that would be nice, and He will eventually. That's coming. We know it, and we can plan for it. But while the Lord leaves us here, He's got things for you and I to be doing. And that's what the Apostle Paul talks about in this Bible reading for tonight. He's got things for you and I to be doing as pastor and people, as believers in general. And while we're here, He wants us to pay attention to that. You and I are here to serve the Lord in His kingdom. We've got God's method of doing the work as Christians. We have God's message, which is all about Jesus. And we have God's mission to continue serving the Lord until the Lord does end it all or takes us safely home to heaven with Him. The Apostle Paul had spent a good share of his life as an unbeliever. All the things that he did were very familiar with. And it wasn't until God brought him to faith that Paul really understood God's grace, his undeserved love. Paul didn't deserve anything from God except God's punishment for all the things that he had done. And yet God brought Paul to faith. He forgave all of his sins. And then on top of that, he becomes an apostle. He becomes one that's sent out by God to do the Lord's work. And for a guy like Paul, that was really undeserving. He did not feel worthy at all of doing that kind of work. So when he comes here to talk to the Corinthians, he wants them to understand where he's coming from. He wants them to remember what his attitude is as he came. He says this later in chapter 15. He says, I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I work harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Paul knew he was a sinner. He knew he didn't deserve anything from the Lord. But he was willing to serve. And there was a certain attitude that Paul wanted to have as he served the Lord. And that was an attitude of humility. And you hear that in our Bible reading for tonight. He says, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed the testimony about God. I came with weakness, fear, much trembling. Paul was a spiritual leader, but he wasn't focused on himself. Paul was sharing the gospel with other people, but he didn't do that in an arrogant way. He did that in a very humble way, realizing who he was and what he had been, and now God's grace, how undeserving that was for him. As Paul carried out his work, he wanted the Corinthians to know, I'm not here because I'm such a special person. I'm here because God has sent me. And that same humility that Paul had, the Corinthians were to have too as they ordered their life in a way that would be pleasing to God. God would want you and I to have that same kind of humility. Like a Paul, an apostle, pastors are sent by God. They're given a special calling to serve the Lord. But a pastor is just a human being, just a sinner like everybody else. God calls people to follow Him in faith, just like He did for the Corinthian church. But they were sinners too, and they weren't worthy of God's love or forgiveness, and yet God showed them His grace. Do you realize how important humility is? how it was important for Paul in his ministry, how it's important for you and I today, that humility, it's not about us. It's not about who we are when we're serving the Lord. It's all about what God has done. It's not a pastor's wisdom in a sermon. It's not anything that we might do that could bring someone to faith. It's all God from beginning to end. And that's humbling and should be, but it's also very comforting. What we do as we serve together in humility is to show our God and not ourselves as the ones to believe in and to serve while we're here on earth. When Jesus wanted to teach humility to his disciples, he would tell them Bible stories. And one of my favorites about humility is the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Both of them go to the temple, and they're both praying, but they're doing it in very different ways. The Pharisee is standing up in front of everybody, and I picture him kind of walking around, holding his head up high, and he's saying things like, God, I thank you I'm not like these other people here. All these sinners and all the sinful things that they've done. And then he tries to boast about himself. He's boasting about his accomplishments and what he's done and how he served the Lord and what he looks like and how important he is. But it's the tax collector who had repented of his sin of tax collecting, standing in the back with his head down, can't even look up because he's so humbled by what he's done. And who was justified? Which of the two was declared not guilty of their sins? It wasn't the Pharisee. It was the tax collector standing in the back because he was humble, because he showed that humility. Well, that's an important attitude for you and I to have. If a pastor ever thinks he's the ticket and he's the real deal and isn't humble, well, that's going to cause trouble. If members of a congregation think that they're the ticket and they're so important, then they don't have that humility, then there's going to be trouble with that too. Like Paul, you and I are here by God's grace. We're given the opportunity to serve the Lord in different ways because of that grace. And that's the method God wants us to have, to be humble as we serve the Lord here. Second thing Paul focuses in on is the message. Paul said, I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Paul had spent his life as the persecutor, and now that he had faith, he was on fire, you might say, to go anywhere, talk to anybody, do anything to share God's word with them. And it didn't matter where Paul went. Didn't matter what city it was. It didn't really matter what the circumstances were in the congregation. Paul was preaching the same message every time to the people. He used the law to show them their sins and their complete inability to please God. And then he used the gospel to comfort them. And that was the only message that Paul said he wanted to share. Paul knew how important that was in his own life. He didn't know Jesus as an unbeliever. He didn't believe in Jesus and the things that he had done for him. But once Paul learned the truth, Jesus has lived and died to pay for my sins, all my sins. And you think of some of the things that Paul did, but Jesus forgave it all. Well, that message was so important to Paul, he wanted everyone else to know the same thing. And that's what he does here in Corinth. He talks about the gospel, the law to show them their sin, and the gospel to show them who their Savior Jesus is. Preaching the gospel got Paul into trouble a lot of times, physically abused and persecuted for his faith, for his preaching. But then he says this in Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Well, you and I, we still use that same message today, thousands of years later. It's still the same law that shows us our sin and our complete inability to please God. And it's that same gospel message, that good news, that reminds us that we're forgiven of all of our sins. We have a home in heaven that's waiting for us because of what Jesus, our Savior, has done. And that's the same message that we still share today. In fact, our whole ministry is about the gospel. In our church name, we use that term evangelical. Evangelical means we're putting the emphasis on the gospel, the good news about Jesus. And everything that we do here is geared toward that message. It doesn't really matter if it be trunk or treat out in the parking lot or a Bible study or anything. We're all geared toward that message of the gospel and sharing it with others and trying to get them to learn more about it here at our church. And that's still the same today. We still use that same message because that's the only one that can create faith. It's the only one that really gives us comfort. And even after we have our faith, the gospel is our motivation to live in a way that honors the Lord. Because we see what He's done for us, we want to do other things for Him and serve Him while we're here. God's left us here for a reason, to use His method of humility to serve Him, and also to use that same message of love and forgiveness through Jesus. A few weeks ago, I finished a Bible study on Thursday morning called 10 Lies About God. And one of the lies that we studied was people who think that it doesn't matter what you believe, just believe something. Kind of like all steeples point to heaven, that idea. Well, of course, we studied through that, and we reminded ourselves that, yes, it does make a difference what message you believe. It would make it a lot easier if there was that truth that everyone could believe whatever they wanted and still get to heaven. But it doesn't work that way. Jesus has one message for us to believe. Well, sometimes it's hard to hold on to that message. Sometimes people don't like to hear it. Sometimes if I'm teaching class to new people and I tell them something that they don't like, you know, there's a temptation to kind of water it down a little so that they won't leave or quit or something like that. But then if you change the message, then you change who the Savior is and what the plan of salvation is. How thankful you and I can be that we've got the same message that Paul used, the same message that the Old Testament prophets used, the law that shows us our sin and the gospel that shows us our Savior Jesus. That's the message that we need to hear ourselves, and that's the message that we need to share with others too. When people talk about their goals in life or maybe what goal they have for living here in this world, you can imagine what some of them would say. They're here to make big changes in their lives or maybe make accomplishments that they can be proud of. Maybe it's to make money, that sort of thing. Well, if you would have asked the Apostle Paul what his purpose in life was, he would have told you one thing, and that was to preach and share God's word so that others can be saved. He says, "My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, the Holy Spirit, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." Paul's goal for himself in his life was to preach to as many people as possible so that they could come to faith and be in heaven with Paul. It wasn't about Paul, wasn't about his life here or getting ahead in earthly life, wasn't about any earthly goal at all. Paul's goal was to be a faithful apostle and have the power of God's word bring people to faith. Well, that's our purpose still today. We live here. God blesses us here in our earthly life. But our goal as Christians is to serve the Lord faithfully for as long as we're here, as long as the Lord wants us to be here. And as we serve together, we have one purpose, not to make ourselves look